Please, to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, as I've told you many times, each proverb is a deep unto itself. The first verse here, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. I think what Solomon is getting at here is that wisdom does not come through osmosis. Wisdom does not come by accident. Wisdom, you're not just, you know, walking down the street, doing your thing, whatever it is, or maybe you're, you know, in the midst of a recreation, whether that's, you know, riding your bicycle or whatever, and, oh, look at that, there's wisdom, let me stop and pick it up. I don't think that's how it works. And I think Solomon is telling us here through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So number one, we see desire. There is a desire for wisdom. Secondly, there is an action that is based on that desire. Notice, having separated himself. Separated himself from what? Separated himself from that which is unwise. Separated himself unto wisdom. He has a desire for wisdom. That desire for wisdom manifests itself in that he separates himself unto wisdom. He separates himself from folly. Or let's make it a little more personal. He separates himself from fools. This is no accident that he intermeddleth with all wisdom, because he has made the decision. He has recognized that wisdom does not come like falling off a rock, walking down the street. Oh, I just bumped into wisdom. Glad I got some on me. It doesn't happen like that. There is cause here. There is effort. There is strength. There is a desire that begins, and that desire translates out into definite and concerted action. Would you be wise? Then separate yourself from folly. Separate yourself from fools. Separate yourself unto wisdom. That is, unto God's word. Unto godly counselors. Unto wise folks. It doesn't happen by accident, Solomon tells us. It happens by decision. All right, so then, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Isn't that interesting? How foolish is the fool? The folly of the fool is to reveal his foolishness. That's what he does. That's what fools do. The great folly of a fool is to make his folly plain, rather than to get understanding. And of course, this is contrasted with the man before who makes a decision, who makes a cut, who makes a break, separates himself, and intermeddleth with wisdom. But the fool, he makes his folly plain, rather than to get understanding. All right, so then verse 3, Solomon counsels us there to take good care of our reputation. For if we let our reputation be tarnished, reproach will follow. Right? When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy, reproach. Ignominy. It's not a word we use a lot. It's from the Latin. It means to have a bad name. A bad name. Ignominy. Just think of ick-nominy, right? Ew. Ick-nominy. Nominy being name, and then ig being a negative connotation. To have a bad name. So Solomon is telling us here to watch our reputations. What reputation do you have? Do you have a reputation of being, I know him, he's got a short fuse. Or her. Or I know him, he's so ordered that, once you get him out of his comfort zone, be careful. It's really irritable. Or whatever the reputation is. You have a reputation of being trustworthy. You have a reputation of being, someone can call you in the middle of the night and they can find favor with you. What reputation do you have? Ask your friends. Ask your loved ones what kind of reputation you have, how they see you. Ask them for their impressions, because we don't want our reputation to be tarnished. All right. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. So once again, we have this metaphor that teaches us that our words reveal deeper things, right? What comes out of our mouth speaks to what's in our hearts or in our minds, or I might say in our hearts, right? The heart is the inward man. So whatever is going on in there, it's like out of that depth gushes forth in words whatever's there. So if there's hatred and strife and greed and, negative things, then that will come out in our speech. Here's the folly of fools, that having that in their heart, they get used to it to the extent that they don't think it's ignominious. They don't think it's, that it spoils their reputation. And so out it comes. That's just the way people speak. Have you ever heard that? Oh, well, I'm not serious. Well, maybe you are. And so Solomon here tells us once again how that our words reveal what's going on inside. All right, once again we see the importance of words in verses 6 through 8. The fool's lips enter into contention, his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down into the inmost parts of the belly. And, you know, in every chapter, we are going to deal with this with Solomon. He's going to tell us how that words not only are the windows of our souls, but how words can hurt or words can heal. They are like knives. They are like goads. They are like a balm. Your words can build up. They can tear down. And how do you use them? And I know I've told you this every week now, and probably twice every week, as we have seen two chapters in Proverbs. But I'm in good company because Solomon's telling you the same thing. I'm only trying to tell you what he tells you under the inspiration of God's Spirit. So words are important. Choose your words. And I might put in a plug here for education. Make sure that we understand how to use our language. That's important as well. We want to be precise and clear in the things that we speak. Not only do we want to be understood, but we also want to be clear so that we are communicating the right things. Again, to protect our name and the name of others. All right, so then in verses 10 through 12, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth to it and is safe. This is contrasted with, in verse 11, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and a high wall, and as a high wall in his own conceit. And then also before the destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So notice here that running to the Lord, the name of the Lord is our strong tower, is set against all other earthly props, against all other earthly protections. And that having those earthly protections stripped away is a good thing, because why? What does Solomon tell us? Honor comes after, not before, humility. That's counterintuitive to us. We think that honor and humility are antithetical to one another. If someone is honored, how could he be a humble man if he's being honored? Well, what Solomon tells us is that honor and humility are right next to each other. That humility is the pathway to honor. I know in our I society, we don't see that. You know, we watch sports and we see a guy that you know, spikes a football and then does a dance in the end zone and then taunts his opposing team. Of course, they've finally started legislating against that in the league. But then after the game, you know, they ask him about his touchdown. I this, I that. Strip away the pride. A good dose of humility. That's the path to honor. That's what Solomon tells us. All right, so then, well, there's a lot left here. Let's just maybe one or two more. The spirit of a man, verse 14, will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Notice that it is not a present possession. There is a seeking, there is a getting, there is a chasing after, there is a desire. The wise man, the prudent man, is one who never says, "I have arrived." He is always looking, always searching, always seeking knowledge. Now, there are those that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us in his book to Timothy. He tells us that there are those who never are able to come to the knowledge of the truth, that they're ever learning. But the prudent man seeks after knowledge. That is, he is seeking after God, and he's seeking after His Word. And he goes to God, and he goes to His Word by various means. He has good counselors. He has good friends. He reads the Bible on his own. He has good commentaries that he reads about the Scriptures. He, if we can put it in our own context, studies his catechetical work. He studies our confession and the larger and the shorter catechism, speaking those scriptural doctrines that are good for a man to know. These things are important. You're going to fill your mind with something. It may as well be God's Word. You're going to seek something. It may as well be the wisdom of God's Word. All right, maybe one more here. How about the great advantage of friendship? The great advantage of friendship, right? A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Take heed how then you treat your closest friends, your brethren in the Lord. We don't want to offend one another. We need one another. Notice, a man that hath friends, verse 24, must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I know some have said that of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that may be the archetype, but he's speaking about human friendships here. That sometimes our friends are going to be closer than our blood relations, because our friends have this common faith with us, right? That our blood relations are not, are sometimes not on the same page with us, don't understand us, won't understand us. You remember the day that Jesus was speaking with his disciples, and they came to him. They said, "Your mother and your brethren are outside, and they want to talk to you." And he said, "My mother and my brethren are right here in front of me." There are friends that are closer than brethren in that sense. How important, then, is it to maintain peace in the house of God? We need each other. All right, thus ends the reading of Proverbs chapter 18. I know we left a lot on the table there, and that's the function of the clock here. So let's move on. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 119.